I would say stop believing your limitations. So somebody will say, oh, we can't do that for this reason.
What has been the biggest challenge overall with this type of growth?
Biggest challenge is that every phase you hit requires a different way of thinking and redefining every process. So like right now, we don't adopt AI as a programming tool. Somebody else is going to eat our lunch. I've seen roofing customers and fencing customers go from a $5 million a year company to a $40 million a year company and grown with us. If you don't enjoy what you do, you won't make the impact you want to have.
Well, what's up, guys? Welcome to this week's episode of No Suits Allowed. I've got a great guest here next to me. Adam Keys, he's with the Job Nimbus Squad. If you know and listened to a previous episode, I had Ben Hodson, the CEO of Job Nimbus, on the show. But now I've got one of the main men behind the scenes of Job Nimbus helping to create such a great tech product and be able to give all the cool tools to contractors and help them become heroes, right? Because that's what the whole mission is at Job Nimbus. So I'm really excited to have him on the show today. It's going to be kind of a little bit of a different dynamic where we're going to talk about what it's like being a business leader. Obviously, you have a lot of experience being more entrepreneurial and being someone that's had to be more of an intrapreneur inside a business, but it's really about helping the folks that are viewing this episode and people that are going to watch this show to be able to get a little bit of a look inside the business and maybe not so much from the high level view and what a lot of people call the ivory tower, but we're not calling it that because Ben's very involved and I know that. So welcome, Adam, appreciate you coming and doing this last minute. We're at an event here in Chicago at the Job Nimbus event. I'm really excited about being here as well, but thanks for being on, brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we'll kick off with just talking a little bit about you and just give us a little bit of your background and what kind of brought you to this point in the world of Job Nimbus and all of the things that are along with that, go along with that. And so, yeah, man, just let us know who Adam is. We call him Keys, by the way. He's got the keys to the roadmap, right? That's the whole thing. Everybody's got the joke. So keys to the roadmap. So Adam, I'll let you share a little about what you do at Job Nimbus. And then also obviously your story and your background, we'll kind of go from there.
For sure. So I started at Job Nimbus almost 5 years ago. I started as a product manager on a development team when there was one, just about to split into two. We're at about 12 development teams now, and I'm the head of product at Job Nimbus. So making sure that we're building the right things for the right people at the right time. And the thing I love about working at Job Nimbus is that I'm treated as a business unit leader. So what happens in product is my business to run. And if it's failing, it's not going well. If it's succeeding, we've got the right people in the right places. And so to get to where I got to, just a story of how I got into product management and leading product management organizations. In college, it was like, what do I want to do? I wasn't exactly sure. I did some engineering background and I was like, I hate math. And then I got into business management, did an undergrad in business management, later did an MBA, and realized that you can do anything with it. Do you want to work in contracting? Business degree. Do you want to work in tech? Business degree. You can go anywhere you want to go. And I started out by thinking I wanted to run my own business. So I did a summer sales job, went to Arizona, height of the housing collapse. Nobody had money and everybody said, get off my doorstep. And so I came back to Utah after that and I was like, I guarantee I could get people off of doorsteps and sell no soliciting signs door to door.
I love that.
So couldn't find a good sign, bought a vinyl cutter, just like a craft one, started cutting out no soliciting signs, went door to door in like every city in Utah where I was. Sold it for like 3 years, made so much money at this that I didn't even have debt when I graduated college. And that evolved into another business. Somebody was like, hey, can you put my sign on my door? Do you have vinyl machines? I was like, sure. Put a sign on the door. They said I charged them too little. So it became a sign business. Did that for a little bit. Then I connected up with another guy doing signs and they had some machinery they couldn't fix. So I came in, helped them out. We merged businesses and started doing sign businesses. And I was still a student in my undergrad. And during that, we had an idea come to us that was like a promotional sports packaging in a stadium. So imagine you have a 3D stadium and you're eating your nachos out of it and you can point to the seat you're sitting in. So we did that for a while. It was a good break-even business. So great learning experience. Didn't lose a house or the shirt off my back. Learned a whole bunch. Got to the point where we're like, this isn't going to grow the way we want to. And so I was like, well, what do I want to do next? I'm kind of burnt out from working 18-hour days. I'm going to go work for somebody. And I figured out what would most replicate an entrepreneur experience Product management. You have to do everything. You have to work with sales. You have to work with support teams. You have to work with tech teams. You have to evaluate what you're going to build next. And so I got into product, worked through a few tech companies, had a recruiter at John Nimbus reach out and came here. And it's been awesome because we've been able to grow, make a big impact. And the thing that I learned from all this experience you can apply to other entrepreneurs is killing roadblocks and being super scrappy and creative. So an example right now, we've just restructured our teams to be AI first. That means that we are trying to program and build and prioritize and roadmap and everything utilizing AI as a thought partner instead of just trying to rely on ourselves, speeding up, getting faster, doing different things. And so as we look at it, it's like, hey, we want to do this thing and move fast. Oh, well, we have this architecture that's a roadblock. Okay, kill everything else, focus on that roadblock, get it done. Then that's not a problem anymore and you move to the next one. And so that whole realm of getting to where I've gotten today has been learning experiences of being creative, coming up with selling no soliciting signs, figuring out other business ideas is totally applicable to even working for someone else, where I'm entrusted with figuring out what the roadblocks are, being creative, solving it, super fun, and just a good experience to deliver value without all the risk of necessarily being the one
that. But you, I did not know that, and I know that, you know, folks I bring on the show, a lot of times I know them, you know, I know their background and story, but even then I don't know every bit of detail. But just hearing the no soliciting signs and like the mindset that you had then and going out there like, okay, well, with all that stuff going on, maybe I could, you know, flip the script and go a different direction with that. That's a very entrepreneurial approach, right? So you definitely have that in you. And so it's really cool to get that perspective now that you're inside an organization doing all the things you're doing. By the way, your little, you know, monologue there of your story, you're probably better than even I am at this. So I'm a good job there, brother, because I know you're not probably a regular podcaster, but you did a great job on that. So tell me from the standpoint of like where you are now, obviously you're working in Job Nimbus day to day. There's all this incredible growth. How long have you been with the company, by the way?
Just about 5 years.
Okay, so you've been here for a while.
I was in the group that was employee number 100, and now we're at like 260.
Yeah. So you've seen that growth. So tell me just to start, and that's why I thought that was the case. That's what I want to just confirm. But I wanted to just start off with kind of what has been the biggest challenge overall with this type of growth and going from, I mean, we're not going to get into all the specifics of top line, but tremendous growth, like, I mean, significant. I don't know if we want to put it on a multiplier, but maybe like
we're 7 times bigger than we were when I started, and that was not even 5 years ago.
So 7 times bigger in 5 years. So what right now or even in that process was the biggest challenge for you to get through, either being from the standpoint of the entrepreneur or more entrepreneurially, how you were having to think about different things? What's your biggest challenge, or what has been your biggest
challenge? Biggest challenge is that every phase you hit, or at least my experience at Job Nimbus, every phase that we hit requires a different way of thinking and redefining every process that you're looking at. Some of them continue on, some of them don't. So like right now, we don't adopt AI as a programming tool. Somebody else is going to eat our lunch. They're just going to come in and take out our knees and we'll be gone. And so we're aggressively like, hey, to get to the future, we want to be the first one there. We want to do them things differently. I've seen that throughout each thing. When I first got to Job Nimbus, it was still a younger company. It was still really scrappy and really startup-like, which meant that we were running as fast as possible to check as many feature boxes as we can to get to the level we needed to be. And at a certain point, you can only check so many boxes before they all just kind of get muddied together and you start breaking things and you get a little more fragile. And so then we had to rethink, all right, we need to focus back in on the core, make some improvement to our core system, because as we scale and get more users, things get more bogged down and more heavy. So something that was not a problem at 1,000 users is a huge problem at 50,000 users. And so we've had to like reinvent the strategy of what we're going after, what we're focused on, what we're building to. Our customers, in the time I've been there, I've seen roofing customers and fencing customers go from a $5 million a year company to a $40 million a year company and grown with us. Now they have a whole new set of challenges that our system wasn't addressing for them at this scale. And so we have to redefine ours to grow with our customers too.
And you're constantly getting more of those higher end or people that are coming in at a higher revenue mark that demand a different type of product than probably when you're first starting in the market and just getting what you can, right? Obviously. So there's a different setup there. So out of the challenges, what are the biggest learning lessons that you've had and like, hey, I would have done this differently, or we as an organization would have done this differently looking back on things?
I would say stop believing your limitations. So somebody will say, oh, we can't do that for this reason. And you go, oh, shoot, I guess we can't do that. No. Think of it a different way and don't stick within the box and paradigm you have. Break out of it and say, okay, what would it actually take to break out of that and do something different? And that's the questions we continuously ask ourselves, where at some points it's been like, oh no, the architecture doesn't support that AI agent. Well, then I guess we better change our architecture. So not just setting with
presents a challenge, especially when you have a, how many users are you guys at now? Not companies, but users.
Yeah, over 60,000.
60,000 users. And when you're talking about multiple iterations of a product, that presents a challenge to take a legacy product and, you know, make it work for the newcomers and everybody in between and kind of keeping that cohesion. So that's good. So talking a little bit about your, I guess, the story leading up to it, and I know you kind of give us a little bit of background of your story of what led you to Job Nimbus. Like, why the business that you're in? Like, what drives you in the reason that that's a big passion of yours?
Yeah, I came from education technology. And in education...
I was too, actually. I was in the ed tech space too. But okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, then you know, if you want to make a change to a product, you can't do it during the school year.
Yeah. Because that is correct.
You can't change curriculum in the middle of a semester.
Yeah, can't mess with... Or the LMSs that are they're built on, right? Or whatever.
The opportunity to ship a product twice a year, at the end of the major school year and at the... Well, not even the beginning. You have one chance. So it's at the end of the major school year in, say, June, you can make a change. And it was super rewarding to work with instructors and teachers because they typically don't get served that well by tech companies. So it was awesome to work with them. But I was so sick of waiting a year to deliver value. And then when they reached out from Job Nimbus, I've always been a do-it-yourselfer. I'm like the worst person for a contractor because when my sink breaks or I need to build something, I just like to build it. So I built a workshop behind my house from grading the ground, pouring the concrete, putting up the studs, doing my own stucco, doing the roof, doing all the electrical, all the plumbing. Sure, I had permits.
Yeah, sure, you did.
Yeah. But it's super fun. So I got the opportunity to go into a space that I really enjoy, and I have the ability to ship value as soon as it's ready, so that when somebody complains about something that's wrong and we have a quick fix for it, I don't have to wait till the next school year to get it out. I just do it. And we're able to see immediate impact and people like thrilled with what we're working on. So that's what attracted me to Job Nimbus and to tech in general. It's like rapid solutions to deliver big impact that help people grow their businesses, have a better lifestyle, employ more people, and make a bigger difference in their community.
Yeah. And obviously it's a scalable situation when you're working in anything, services, software. So, I mean, if you had to break it down into one or maybe a handful of things, short list of things, what is the number one driver for you? I mean, I know that you know, you have a family, you've got a faith base, there's things like that. But I mean, when you say like, I mean, what drives you or keeps you motivated in the work that you're doing, and what type of passion does that derive for you, I guess, and what you're actively doing as well as the things that you've done? Like, is there a common thread to all of these things, or are you a guy that likes to mix it up and change things up as far as the things that you do as inside the businesses? Because I know you haven't always been on the stuff you're on right now inside of Job Nimbus. So obviously there's been growth and change, but like just in general, what's the thing that's kind of in your passion? Or
it's probably the ability to make an impact. So I've worked at previous jobs. I worked at a very, very large company that was over 50,000 employees. And if I was there or not there, did not make a difference. So I found that growth stage companies super fun because you're growing. The impact you make actually makes an impact on the whole business. And so what I love is being able to make an impact, whether it's being able to have more fun as the impact or deliver more revenue for our customers as a impact or work really, really hard and get promoted and have an impact for my family. If I'm not able to see progression based on the efforts I'm doing and my team is doing, then it's just not fun. So I think that's the number one driver for me is, am I making an impact in the areas that I love and have value in my life? And if I'm not, I'm probably not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I probably won't be there forever.
Yeah. Was there any particular low point in your, any of the businesses that you've been involved in or had your own? Like, was there any low point that was like, man, I really got to bounce back from this, or I've got to find a way through and push through, that you really remember? And what did you learn in that time frame?
It's a good one. So this was the nail in the coffin of that business of sports promotional packaging. So we had collegiate licensing. We're printing logos. We're making 10,000 items for stadiums to go to.
That was an ordeal then. That wasn't just some like...
Had to learn how to do 3D printing out of plastic, then how to do casting out of aluminum, how to do vacuum forming, how to do what's called distortion printing, where you make a design
around it or whatever.
Melt it and it changes shape. It took a whole long time to do. So we learned a ton there, but ultimately it wasn't doing the things I needed to. So I'm like, oh, I'll take another job and then I'll work it at night. And it became just like time suck galore. I had two kids at that point. It was starting to get like pretty
hectic,
painful.
Chaotic is what we call
it. And we had a scenario where they changed our ink recipe essentially for this printer we had. And the ink had to stretch without tearing is what you needed. And my business partner was like, oh, I'm going to swap it over. I was like, flush that printer out. That's an expensive printer. Flush it out. He didn't flush it out. All the ink mixed together, gelled up in the lines, gelled up in the print heads. And that's a $36,000 fix. And it was, do we go take out a loan and keep going, or do we end? And I was like so torn up about it, because we had three partners with us, a father, son, and then me. And the father always voted with me. And so I voted like, guys, I'm ready to be done. And the dad was like, okay, I'm out too. And it sucked, because it was like one of my best friends, still a good friend. And we were done. And it hurt, because I had spent 3.5 years building this business, and I had to hit the point where I had to do what was best for me, for my family, and for time and everything. And it sucked, and it was the worst thing ever, but I had a different path I wanted to go and was able to achieve it. So that, it wasn't the persevering through, it was actually making the decision that we didn't want to keep kicking that can down the road. And that unlocked a whole new opportunity in product management, product leadership.
Yeah, one door closing, another opening. So,
and I honestly would not be working at JobNims today without that experience, because when I interviewed, they saw this little line item at the bottom of my resume that said co-founder and product development manager of this company. And one of the executives at JobNimbus at the time hammered on that for like 25 minutes and didn't even talk about my...
anything else that was real. Yeah.
They were all on that and were like, if you could have figured out that problem, you're going to figure out the problems here. And so...
Well, I was just about to ask you that as a follow-up, is like... did that play a dramatic role in your development? And, you know, what did you learn from that? You know, so that's great that you addressed that. It's awesome. Well, just one takeaway, I think, for me is like, obviously working inside an organization like JobNimbus, which is a very well-known, especially in our space and contracting space, a very well-known solution to contractors, obviously has made a big impact, has had a lot of different great minds behind it, yours including. I know Ben's a great guy, and there's a ton of people in this room that are really brilliant minds. So, you know, I think the takeaway for me here is like, even though, you know, you had some of that entrepreneurial experience and went kind of doing that, you know, it doesn't mean that those folks don't fit inside your business and can't do a lot of the same type of things for your business the way you are doing, where you take a lot of ownership, a lot of initiative, a lot of more of that intra work, right? Where you can really make an impact and drive something to grow quicker. So that's going to be my last question for you is, what was really the decision for you as we wrap up here? Like, what was the decision for you to say, okay, I'm going to hang up the entrepreneurial? Was it that experience where you're like, I'm going to put that ball cap on the shelf and then I'm going to pick up the like, hey, let me go make an impact inside a business that's not something I physically own? Or was it like, I guess, what was the moment that changed for you? Or was there a moment in your development?
Yeah, I think it was like, stability and growth, like, hey, this isn't going. I've got three mouths to feed and another one on the way. I'm going to go have a career where this, I'm not having to pay myself almost nothing. And it was a ball.
Because that's the reality of an entrepreneur, right?
Yep.
You got to be willing to like not pay yourself anything at periods of time or whatever the case may be. It's not always, that's the whole reason that like this show exists to begin with, is like, it's not the highlight reel, right? So, but go ahead, continue.
And so it was, I hung up the ball cap, but it's still there. And there will be a time when I do something again that is something I want to do for myself that I run, that I build. And I have ideas, but right now I've got a good focus on where I'm at and I love what I'm doing and there's a ton of growth there. Eventually one day there will be something else. And honestly, that's who I look to hire on my team. I look for flight risks. That sounds a little crazy, but I want somebody that I am terrified they're just going to get a brilliant idea and leave the team because they're going to be the best contributors to the team. And at one point, Ben, our CEO, said to my wife at one of our events, she's like, I'm just surprised he's still here. I thought I had like 2.5 years of his time and then he'd be out of here doing his next thing.
That's a testament to keeping it interesting over there at Job Nimbus.
And interesting. It's been super fun. So I still have a story to write at Job Nimbus. I won't be there forever. And I don't think anybody expects someone to be at a company forever. So I consider myself a flight risk for Job Nimbus, not in the short term, but eventually there's going to be the thing that yanks me away that I work on again. And that's the type of person you want to hire. Somebody that you're like, I want their time while I have them. And then they're going to go do something awesome, but they're going to make us awesome while they're here.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you for kind of the last final thoughts to this, but I feel like you kind of closed it out really well. There is like, that's not necessarily, you know, something I have intention to do anytime soon, but there's still that drive down inside of me to do something down the road. And that's really cool to hear that. So, well, I appreciate you sharing your story, man. Is there anything else you do want to leave with the audience, the folks going to listen, or have you
my job Nimbus supporting my job? No, I'm just kidding.
Anything else that comes to mind for you that you're like, man, this is really a message I'd like to send out to the world or anything like that? If not, it's totally fine, man.
Have fun with what you do. Like, I really have fun going to work, which a lot of people don't have to say. Like, work's a chore and work's terrible. Obviously, everyone would always be doing something different. You'd be flying a plane or hanging out on a boat all day. But if you don't enjoy what you do, you won't make the impact you want to have. And so love what you do, I guess.
I love it. That's great. Well, we appreciate you, man. Thanks again. I know I already shook your hand, but thanks, folks. Thanks for listening and tuning in this week. If you like the content, please make sure you share and subscribe to the show. And we'd love to be able to hear from you as well by commenting your thoughts on this particular episode, as Adam was gracious enough to give us his time today. And we're really excited to be able to share this out when it goes live. And also make sure that you tune in to the following week's episodes as we share another business leader and also an entrepreneur story, as he was formerly an entrepreneur. But we'll keep it interesting and keep it the raw and unfiltered voices that you're interested in hearing. And I'm excited to be able to share this out. So thanks, guys. And we'll see you on the next episode.